management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Welcome over to North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, and Carl and Linda Bott, 705 on the 1st of April. And you know what that means. Phone lines here at 530-605-4567. That wasn't me. That was a tape delay. KCNR1460.com is where we stream, and you can chat with us and hop on there right now. I am joined by Bad Bob. Bad Bob, keep it quick. We got somebody on the phone
already. Morning, sir.
Well, that was good enough. And of course, my partner in crime, and I mean that, Linda.
Oh, yes. Good morning. It's 55 degrees, and we're going to go right to the phone lines because guess what? You have somebody waiting to exercise, and you're going to train them at 7:15. Let's welcome to the program, Amy. Welcome.
Good morning. Happy Friday, you guys.
I know.
Happy
it's
Friday.
Crazy. You can't believe Carl's in his camo bib overalls.
I am.
Can you see it?
They've called for reinforcements up in the Cedarville area.
Okay.
It looks like the squirrels are overrunning them.
All right. So
we
love Amy to call in at the last day of the week, Friday, for the tip of the week. What is it?
You know what? I just wanted to give you guys a quick overview of, you know, when I say I want you to eat so many fruits and so many vegetables and grains, you know, it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to kind of tell people what that would look like. So let's just look through really quickly what a day of that would look like. So for breakfast, you guys, a half cup of cereal is actually a serving. So take your cereal and add about a quarter cup of raisins and some almonds to it and kind of make it more of a sustaining breakfast with a cup of low skim milk, and then have another fruit besides those raisins, like a whole orange. So for breakfast, you're looking at a cup of low skim milk, a half cup of cereal, add a quarter cup of nuts and raisins, and a full fruit. Now when we move on to lunch and your snack, try to load it up with as much fruit and vegetables as you can. So let's say you have two pieces of whole wheat bread, maybe some tuna mixed with a little bit of mayo, and you place some tomatoes and onions and lettuce on that salad, and you make it a manwich. And then add some grapes. 20 grapes is considered a serving. So that's fun, fresh fruit to eat. And then for a snack, try some bell peppers or carrots or jicama or celery and dip it in hummus. Great little snack, great way to add some extra vegetables. Dinner time, real important. I want half that plate coming from vegetables. Like maybe you have a spinach salad with some tomatoes and radishes in there and a little bit of olives. And then maybe you have about 2 cups worth, or at least a cup and a half worth of broccoli. And then on the other side, you're going to have at least 4 ounces of, say, salmon.
Yum,
and
yum.
And then about a half cup to maybe 3/4 of a cup of brown rice. And that's going to be a really hearty, healthy dinner. And then for an evening snack, something like a Greek yogurt with some fresh berries, raspberries, blueberries, strawberries in there. That would make a really good day-long meal, basically, probably around anywhere from the 1,500 to 2,000 calories, but really loaded with fruits and vegetables and lean proteins.
I think you had Carl at the word manwich.
There you go.
Manwich.
He looks like a manwich today.
Hey, Amy, thank you so much. You know, Addison's Peak Performance, we are so happy to be able to work out with you and all your tips and all that. We're just making us healthy. I mean, I'm eating bran and branches from trees
and
when I'm out there.
And you're bringing back a squirrel tail.
That's right. You know what? I'm going to be low crawling through the woods here eating bark off trees.
It's good fiber.
Yeah.
Amy Palko from Adamson's Peak Performance, always thank you so much for starting our Friday up. All right, you take it. Have a fabulous weekend.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Cinnamon Jim Nielsen is on the line with us right after the break here. It's Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. This is Free Fire Radio. CNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, and Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 530-605-4567. Is the phone number, and we're streaming and chatting at KCNR1460.com at 7:12 in the morning on April the 1st. And this is no joke. We have Assemblyman Jim Nielsen on the phone. Good morning, Assemblyman.
Good morning, Free Fire Radio.
Yes, good morning.
How you doing? How you doing, Jim?
We welcome you to the program this morning.
Yes, glad to be on. We're talking about the budget. By the way, we recorded that wonderful honor of the Vietnam Veterans of America Legislator of the Year on Wednesday morning. Got to speak to them, and I wrote a column about it, folks, about the homeless veterans, and a moving story by Stephanie Ruggiero from Yuba City, a veterans advocate of a homeless vet who she watched be zipped into a body bag in the cold of winter on the streets of Yuba City, and how very sad that was. It just certainly emphasizes what we need to do to help our veterans that are homeless and needing help out there.
Well, we wanted to applaud your selection for that there, Simmerman. It was, and I know it's an honor to you, and I know that it means a lot to you.
Well, you've done so much, you folks, being one yourself, Carl, and a great leader, and a lot of others up there like John Kleckner and many others. God love you for it.
You know, this. You know, I you just can't believe, and, you know, just how many people work so hard to support the veterans up here in the North State. And it's good that it's only fitting and that our legislators also do the same thing. So I'm glad to see that what you've been doing is recognized too then, Jim. Now,
well, a harder pull is the budget, though.
Yeah, let's talk about the budget. I just saw something in the paper today, and somebody sent me yesterday, so I wasn't completely surprised about the teachers' union. They're going to be needing their retirement fund's going to be needing an infusion of cash here.
Yes, they will. Well, that's only one of the many problems, and that's why pension reform is a part of the requirement. Carl, here's the theme of an op-ed that I have coming out right now is the rest of the story. The governor has asked us to just vote. It sounds very simple. As I've said on your show several times before, the voters already did vote in 09 and again 010 and said no to these things. However, that said, he's not been telling them what you're going to vote for. And because of this so-called public safety realignment, moving all of these state inmates and parolees and wards, which are the youthful offenders, to our communities, 68,000 will be in our communities year after next, and 28,000 by this time next year if his plan goes into effect, there's a great injustice. It changes three of our initiatives, Chelsea's Law, Marcy's Law, and three strikes. It totally upsets sentencing, and we cannot handle it. It will us. So the citizen will be voting to raise taxes on themselves to make their families vulnerable to criminals. Sheriff Basenko gets it, and he's talked a lot about it. Boy, that's not a good formula. It must be worked out, and there are other ways to deal with this budget.
Well, Tom Basenko and also Police Chief Peter Hansen have both been on talking about this and how this is going to have such a huge impact.
In fact, Peter and I were on your show about 2 weeks ago together.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
I timely called in while Peter was there, and they know what's going to happen. Unfortunately, some of their organizations have, been bought into the deal, I guess, put it that way. But it's not a good situation. So the talks have kind of broken off now with the five Republicans who were trying to make some kind of an agreement separately with the governor. But here's the situation where we're at. There need to continue to be some talks. And I had a talk in the Capitol basement just yesterday, one of the governor's top officials, with some ideas. But the ideas need to be focused on the fact that there will be some additional revenue coming in May that will be helpful, that there can be some additional cuts, that the agencies of government have really not been changed at all, even though substantial cuts have occurred in the last 2 years. That is going to have to be a part of the deal. And then there can be a mechanism if state revenues, because of the economy, rise on the natural, without taxes, without tax extensions, then some funding to a lower level of some of these programs can occur. The worst part of the whole plan, though, is the deceptive link of these tax increases and extensions, they're really tax increases now, to public safety and education, and now these a whole array of social programs will be equated, protected like public safety, like police and fire. In fact, because the federal mandates these programs, social programs, will have even a higher priority for that limited revenue stream than police and fire under this agreement. That's really not a good deal. And so now, 5 years hence, all the money that the general fund would have directed to these critical needs are education and public safety, the highest priorities. That money will be spent on all kinds of other things in the budget. So 5 years now, we will be confronted with, well, if we don't continue these taxes again in perpetuity, then we'll have to substantially cut $15 billion or more out of public education, police, and fire. That's a gun pointed at our heads to continue these taxes forever.
Well, I know that the extension of the vehicle tax or vehicle licensing fee, which of course is a tax, if that falls off, again, Sheriff Basenko and Chief Hanson both said the same thing. That's $3 million out of their budget. And,
well, sure,
and
absolutely.
That's going to just kill
them. It is devastating.
Them.
There is no question about it. And we've, you know, I've authored a bill to give an alternative to that out of the general fund so we can, continue that funding. The point is, these essential needs, education to the highest degree that we can possibly support education and to the highest degree we can support public safety, police, and fire, that's necessary. That should be a priority.
And that, you know, it, nobody's going to disagree with that. And it seems like it's the idea that the Republicans also had is to put a spending cap on things, redo all the pension plans. Brown said he agreed with a lot of these, and yet it doesn't seem like either side can find that final common ground.
No, it's very difficult. And frankly, the very personal hard part for me is when I've offered these in my discussions with the administration people, including the governor. An hour and a half, I had an hour and a half one-on-one meeting with the governor two Thursdays ago. But I am told, we'll work that out later, like realignment. I'm talking about realignment. He said, we'll work the details out later. We'll put it in the Constitution, shift it all to local government, and work the details out later. Well, I don't do business that way, and we shouldn't. The citizens shouldn't. We need to know what the whole deal is.
That's the final idea is that, you know, when people say to us, we'll work out the details later, I think of the health care bill that passed through. We'll work that out later. And it is such a morass of bureaucracy, and people are getting hit and hurt by it every day, you know, starting now, that anybody that says, we'll work this out later, and it comes from a government source, it just is, you got to kind of watch out there.
It's about trust. It's about trust in government, and there's not good cause to trust government.
Hey, Simmelman, we've got to take a quick break here. Let's take a break, and we'll come on back. We've got some questions from our chat room, and I want to talk to you about some of the things that are going on.
I'll stand by.
All right. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Join us after these messages. Our guest, Assemblyman Jim Nielsen.
CNR 1460. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on this beautiful Friday, April Fool's. Currently 49 degrees. Going to be today. It's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 83 tonight. Chance of showers with a low of 51. Weather's always brought to you by Ensemble Vineyards. And let's get back to a really important phone call with lots of important information that's transpiring right now. And that is Jim Nielsen. Welcome to the program, Assemblyman.
Good morning again.
Good morning. Jim, one of the things I've just saw here is in the current fiscal year, 42% of the state's general fund goes to public schools, and most of that money pays for teacher salaries. How can, and they're looking at cuts in the billions to K-12 schools, another $585 million in community colleges, $1.1 billion from the universities, all these big numbers to try and get this with just cuts is... You know, what other ways is the state bringing in money?
Well, bringing in money is these taxes for sure. The best way to bring the money in, and even the things that we've talked about, the spending cap, 2-year budget cycle, some of the reforms of the budget process, the getting rid of automatic cost of living increases that have occurred, those are all helpful. But unless the economy improves, then there's no way we're ever going to get out of having a difficult budget situation in California. So that's another reason to not go for the taxes. That would just individuals to invest, to spend money, to buy cars. That would discourage businesses to invest in new jobs in California because of the tax burden. So that really isn't our answer. And the economy is moving. So let's get ourselves out of the way of the economy. Let's send a profound signal that we're going to do some regulatory changes, and let's do a show just on regulations and fees and fines and government by administrative directive sometimes. So that's kind of part of the...
I would love to do that. I would love to do that, Assemblyman, because it... You know, we have decisions being made by departments that you all probably don't even see until people start complaining about it, and it's costing us, you know, millions and millions of dollars.
And the citizens, our businesses are affected every day. The worst is something hardly anyone's talking about. It. I've lived it and know it for decades. It's called government by administrative directive. Agencies, by the hundreds of occasions, every day of the working weeks, come out with a piece of paper that is called an administrative directive, which is, in effect, a law that we have to abide by. You, a business, we, citizens. This is an administrative directive, and most of the time they do not have any statutory backing or regulatory backing. It is simply a capricious whim of some person in some agency that says, this is the way we're going to do the deal. You will obey.
One of the questions coming in from the chat room is about legislators getting raises during the with this economy going on.
No, actually, the legislators have gotten a cut, a substantial cut. I think it's somewhere around 30%.
Okay.
And you shouldn't be running for the legislature if you're doing it for the salary, okay? It's service is what it's all about. But no, the legislative salaries have been fairly substantially cut. I think it's around 30%.
Oh, okay. Well, that was one of the things. Okay, we have a question on. John, good morning. You have a question for the Assemblyman.
Good morning. Yes, and I think he somewhat addressed it right there. I'm very concerned about how the legislators can be voting themselves raises and benefits and giving themselves any type of economic addition to what they already have at this particular economic time in our history. I also don't understand why this partisanship can't be put aside to settle this budget and then fight out partisan issues after the budget is resolved.
Okay, on 2 points. First of all, the legislators do not set their salaries. That was taken away several years ago by the people, the formation of something called the Citizens Compensation Commission, a group of appointees by the governor who they singularly, separately, and independently make that determination. Okay, now, as to the point of partisanship, you can be called partisan because Republicans don't like taxes, and I guess Democrats like to spend more money on government programs, but I argue that where we're at right now, it isn't partisan. The points that I have raised, I'm not accusing Democrats of this or that or that. I'm just stating the point on why I think these tax increases are not in best interest. That's not partisan. I think that's something for the public to consider and why they should be concerned, that why they should know what they are going to be so-called voting for. If Republicans and Democrats divide on those points in the legislature, it is the way that it happens. But to say that you can sit down and just have a big group hug on things of this magnitude, really you can't. Those are fundamental ways about how our future is going to be held, about regulations, for example. I mean, there's a difference between individuals and parties, I guess, generally on regulations, and that's a healthy discussion to have. Now, let me get to your point, though, because there is a good point.
We've got like about a minute left. We have a minute left to make this point.
In society, it's hard for people to realize, you know, what can you agree on? So where you start, and this is where I start, okay, my Democratic colleague, what can we agree on? Let's agree on this. and Pickett. And we've agreed on a lot of things, even in this tough budget. So the point is, there are things that can be agreed on, and then further, it's your tone. Don't be accusatory and beating up people.
Jim, well, thank
Jim,
you.
We've
got like 30 seconds here.
It'll be quick. My accusation, period, is I'm really tired of being involved in the election process of electing politicians that then want to kick it back to us to make another vote to determine what policy should be when we elected them to determine policy.
Okay,
well, you've just made the point that I've made about.
Okay, we have got to break. Please hang on to the other side here. John, thanks a lot for the phone call. This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. We've got a break for the news. By radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 7:33 in the morning. It's April 1st, but we're not fooling around today. We have Assemblyman Jim Nielsen on the line. Welcome back, Assemblyman Jim Nielsen.
Thank you for staying on.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, now there was something that hit the paper today that I just found this really, really interesting, that some lawmakers are moving forward with a bill Thursday to make it easier for farm workers to unionize, and they're going to do it by submitting a petition. The bill would let field laborers submit a petition to the State Agricultural Labor Relations Board instead of holding a secret ballot election, which means they've taken away the right to people really to say, to vote, you know, consciences of both the way they want, and now there's a possibility of intimidation there.
You know, there's a real irony here. This is the product of the United Farm Workers Union. They've been around a very long time, and yesterday was the celebration of Cesar Chavez Day in California, so that's why the bill was passed in the Senate yesterday. It's really interesting. What it means is what the ballot now will become is, in those elections, nothing more than the union takes around a bunch of cards, and you sign your name to a card, and that becomes your vote. And it's the irony, years ago, and I go back in these debates with the United Farm Workers probably 30-plus years, and they used to fight for the secret ballot. They insisted on the secret ballot. And now they want to throw the secret ballot in the waste basket and go by card check. And the reason being very simple. It's easier to get individuals' votes by just putting your hand on the card and sign your name.
I just find this whole thing repugnant to me, because you had a right chance before to vote, you know, secretly. They didn't know what they, you know, I mean, people didn't know. And now what happens is the union can come to each individual and say, we want you to sign this. And then if you don't, I mean, there's such a chance of intimidation there. I'm not saying there is going to be intimidation, but I've worked in union, or I've worked in the shops that were trying to unionize when I was putting myself through school, and I realized what goes on there. And it was it's just something that seems like it's taken away rights of people.
Well, what I call traditional labor, they've not fought for this over the decades. But this one particular union seems to think that that's the way they would get an edge. It was defeated last year, and it was vetoed by the governor one time, and now they're just back again at it. Another thing that would just be discouraging, I think, to the economy, it's just a distraction.
Yeah, it's just something.
So the bottom line is, to me, we don't need a whole lot of bills. We need to just focus on getting the budget in order in California right now. I've never put in, I think, 8 or 9 bills is all I've ever put in each year that I've been back in the legislature. There's no need. I didn't come to Sacramento to start carrying a bunch of bills. That's not what we need, more legislation.
Probably need less. You know, one of the other questions that's come in via the chat room, number of questions, but this one is the legislators, are they doing anything to protect the sovereignty of the California border? Or are we just still ignoring that?
Well, the sovereignty of the border is really the purview of the federal government, absolutely. But the battle here has been over benefits, most recently giving those children of illegals an advantage in college education benefits over, you know, our own. That's been a huge issue. I was just debating a bill yesterday, as a matter of fact, that a Democratic colleague authored, that I was for the bill, and I applauded him. It's about illegal felons, okay? And if they are going to be deported, then they are noticed when they're sentenced in the court. The judge would be required to tell them that if they come back into the United States after deportation, they would be subject to prosecution. It's simply an instruction, and a lot of folks voted against that bill. Now, I advocated for it because I had personal experience. In 1996, as head of the Board of Prison Terms, I dealt with a lot of these foreign inmates. About 10% of our population are from a foreign countries, okay? And I had major responsibility. If they wanted to transfer to serve their time in their home country, then I was the single one who approved whether they did or not. But these felons, particularly the high-volume drug dealers and the serious and violent ones and the gang leaders, if they were deported, they would quickly be able to pay the, it's called Mordida, and get right back into the United States. So I got a provision written into a congressional bill in 96 that said if you are formally deported felon and you illegally reenter the United States, you would be subject to prosecution and 15 years incarceration. Now, you would not have to put away too many of those big-time criminals for 15 years before that would sort of deter their behavior. And so that was one of the reasons I debated for this bill, because there is a very clear consequence if, in fact, U.S. attorneys would prosecute them. But several years ago, 2 years after that bill passed, there were very few prosecutions in California. I met with the U.S. attorneys and said, why aren't you prosecuting? And they gave me a bunch of funny stories, and I called it a bunch of balderdash. I said, you just don't want to prosecute them, so if you don't prosecute, there is no deterrence. I think my point is there are some things that can be done. This would be one.
Well, you know, Jim, it's just with all the things that are going on, you know, that's just part of is the illegals. We start talking about all the, you know, the billions and billions and billions of dollars that are being wasted, and then trying to cut that back, and then so we can put it in where it belongs in the education system, public safety, things that, you know, that we get stuff and then we get things out of. I really appreciate you coming on today, and we do have to have a show here in the near future about the regulations and fees and the bureaucracies that are killing our business and you know, working against our farmers and ranchers. And spend a whole hour on that, if we can do that.
Let's do it, and I'll be with them tonight at the Shasta County Farm Bureau Dinner. We'll be talking about these very matters, but let's do something on your show as well, and we'll talk about its impact on small businesses.
You bet, sir. Hey, thank you so much for your phone call and getting us and updating us on what's going on down there.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. That was Assemblyman Jim Nielsen. We appreciate him coming on and giving us an update. We have people here from Shasta Women's Refuge are going to be on after that.
Like a mile in her shoes.
That's
April
right.
9th.
And then at 8 o'clock, we're going to be talking the economy up here with one of our local economic experts, Eric Wittstrom.
Okay, now wait a minute.
Okay.
So you're in camo bib overalls.
That's right.
And we've got red patent leather pumps out waiting to come in. So that's a visual that I think we need to take a break with.
It's Carl Lindebach. 7:41 in the morning. It's April the 1st, and this is Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to home of Carl Lindebach and Free Fire Radio. 7:45 in the morning. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. 244-1988. Talk to Doug Tooley. He puts in Dish Satellite. Don't call that 800 number. Nope. Do not call that 800 number. You'll end up in a different hemisphere. Doug Tooley, local guy. 1985, been in the business. He's a veteran, 82nd Airborne. He gives a free HD TV to you and talk to him about how he does that. Great prices. Local guy, does great work. 244-1988. Talk to Heather or Doug.
Currently 49 degrees this morning. here on the 1st of April. I don't know, Carl. How's that doing? How's that doing for you?
You know what? I love today.
The camo bib overalls.
You know what? I'm kind of liking this. I don't have to do this every day because I can just kind of come in and kind of like, you know, be here like this.
Maybe if we're talking about the Shasta Women's Refuge fundraiser that we're going to be doing on the 9th of April. And with us this morning is Dawn Smith and Dave Regnall. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And, Dave, you have walked in the mile in the red high heel pumps. I remember them from last year. And, well, first of all, share with our listeners something about the event.
Well, the Walk a Mile in the Shoes event is actually it's a national event that some communities have chosen to take on because it does two things. First of all, it's a fundraiser for the Women's Refuge, which is very important. But more than that, it raises awareness to sexual assault and abuse. And so we're trying to accomplish both goals. The Walk a Mile is actually a pure mile. We're going to do it at the downtown promenade like we've done the last couple of years. And it's a couple laps around, but my tagline is it takes a real man to do this, and that's a true statement if you've talked to people who have done it, like Carl. It takes a real man to walk a mile in women's shoes. And so if we can get some real men up here, and I know we will, and the men are not up to the real man standard, then we would ask them to maybe write a check to the real man who is walking in women's shoes.
Well, we saw so many people last year, and I just, you know,
I saw the pedicures with the red toes.
Men had polka dot toenails done. Don't even, you know, I mean, we're talking about Orville, all walks.
You remember Orville from, he worked at Channel 7 last year. Did you remember what he was dressed like?
Yes.
He comes out with a blonde wig, hairy legs, and these red pumps, and he said that he wanted to look like Cheetah or something like that.
Yes, yes.
So,
Dawn,
yes.
Tell us about what's going on with the Shasta Women's Refuge this year.
Well, we have lots of new and exciting changes. Jean Teen has been recently announced as our executive director.
We were very fortunate to have her on last week.
Yes,
yeah.
And she's leading our agency into great new ways. And also, April is National Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and that really is part of the march for the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event to bring awareness to our community that sexual assault is unfortunately something that happens, and we are the Rape Crisis Center for Shasta County.
Every 5 minutes, someone is sexually assaulted in the state of California. 1 in 4 females, 1 in 6 males will be sexually assaulted in their lifetime, many before they reach the age of 18. 60% of the sexual assaults go unreported.
Now, registration is Friday, April 8th.
That's a pre-registration, that's correct.
And that's Need a Speed from 3 to 7.
Right, right. And what that does is it gets some of the paperwork out of the way early so that we don't have a bunch of people doing all that paperwork in the morning from 9 to 10 on Saturday morning, which is the actual walk. And it's amazing how many people actually come down and do the pre-registration stuff, which is cool. The other thing that happens for them is that we ask each real man to raise at least $100 on their own, and some will raise much more than that. I was talking to Supervisor Les Baugh last night, and he has raised over $1,600 already, and he's got an event Thursday night to raise more money for the event. So that's really cool.
Have you ever thought it's because Les just likes wearing high heels?
Les likes to run in high heels.
He carries a parasol.
Yeah.
I love it.
He runs.
The man's got good legs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he runs the event. He starts off with us, then he takes off, and he's done in 10 minutes.
It's you know what, and he does. He puts a lot of effort in here.
Yes,
you
he
know,
does.
So, you know, let's ring the bell. Even though this is a small bell, we'll bring a bell for Les Baugh because he does take a lot of time and effort to do
this.
Okay, now this Walk a Mile in the Shoes, that's the big thing. That's on April 9th here. That's a week from this week, from this Saturday.
Right.
But also April 12th, you've got Take Back the Night.
Correct. That is an event where we are trying to, I think the focus of that is to let people know that we're not afraid, that we're going to be out there, be advocates for people who are not really doing good things to people. And we also have that particular night, I'm not going to be in town because I'm on vacation, but there's also going to be some awards given from the Walk a Mile event. The most inspirational, last year we had a young man that had one leg, was out there.
You know, I remember that. You know, he was. And the other people were bringing their kids. This one gent carried his child the whole time while he was wearing these very nice, very stylish stiletto pumps.
And they were high. These were stackers. These were, like Carl said, black stacked high heels.
Okay, I tell you what, let's take a quick break here, and we've got the rest of the segment here, but let's talk about the other events that are going on, then come back and talk a little bit more about
And pledging.
And pledging, yes. Yeah. Okay, this is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. It's 7:50 in the morning. It is 49 degrees. It's going to be a good day. Yeah, it's Friday, April Fool's Day. Call your boss and say, oh, I don't think I'm coming in today because I'm, oh yeah, sick. KCNR. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, 7:53 in the morning. It's April the 1st. This portion of the show is brought to you by the Backbone Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. And I tell you what, they are behind these events. They help the community down there. This is Tobacco and Brew, you know, with Espresso Joe's, great coffee, great prices, finest walk-in humidor. In fact, I'm taking some of their cigars out this weekend when we're going up there on that reinforcement. Having to reinforce what's happening up in Cedarville there. It looks like the squirrels are starting to overtake the citizens.
They might come a
You know what, but we fight these little devils, but, you know, Geneva Convention. We use the Geneva Convention. If they're wearing little red crosses, I do not shoot at them. You got to watch them, though. Sometimes they have little tiny hand grenades on them.
Okay, you guys. We've got Don Smith and Dave Regnell with us this morning. Welcome back to the program. We're talking about Walk a Mile in Her Shoes from the Shasta County Women's Refuge. This is April 9th, rain or shine. It's a one-mile walk that's going to begin at 10 a.m. And we're sitting here, and Dave's brought in these red high-heel pumps, you guys. I have an on-air challenge for all you chat packers, okay? Because minimum of what we want to raise is, of course, is $100. That's what you're trying to get every. That's just a minimum.
Correct.
And last year we had a lot of people that generously donated for Carl to wear certain things.
Dress me up like a little girl.
I'm telling you right now, Carl is in, it's just because, you know, with the squirrel wars are calling, he is in bib camo. I'm telling you,
an American
Dawn is probably thinking, oh my gosh, what is this Free Fire Radio, this guy in the camo. No, Carl's in camo bib overalls, so if you call and you pledge today, he'll put on those red high heel pumps, and Bob will take a picture here in the next hour and post it. And you will see Carl in camel bib overalls with red high heel pumps, because that money that we'll raise today in the next hour is going to go to Walk a Mile in Her Shoes in the Shasta Women's Refuge. How's that?
So you put like $5 or $10 in an owl, and you'll get those. And we trust you, Chad.
Notice the phones aren't ringing yet.
We need you to do that. We also need, or you can just tell us on the chat that you're going to do that, and we trust you because we know who you are. We have your IP addresses.
So many of you have been driving around on April 9th. This is the 4th annual, and you're driving by and you're thinking, oh my gosh, what's going on here with all the. So Dave, share with us. It's just, you know, you've got to walk the walk and then talk the talk. So let's hear again how people who are interested can go about doing this.
Well, you can do it one of two ways. You can go online to the Shasta Women's Refuge.org. We have a link there that will get you the information, and you can also call the Women's Refuge, which is 244-0118, extension 202, which will get you with Christy Hansen, and will get you the information. And keep in mind, this is a family event. We want the families to come out and support these real men. And if you're a business, and we have several that are putting people out there, and I don't use the word force, I use the word encourage some of their men, and I tell them, bring your banners, let people know who you are, what your business is, because if you're supporting this event, we want people to know that.
Well, John has just said he'll give $25 to get that photo and going toward this. So, John,
right.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
We'd like to get $100 here in the next hour. This is just a real spontaneous
Nancy
thing.
Nancy Cole, $20.
There
hey,
you
Nancy,
go, because
keep calling.
Because if you will put on those red.
I'll put them on, and we'll get a photo, and we'll have it out on our Facebook, and we'll have a Bob's Facebook and our Facebook. All right. All right. We've got two
Bubba
two
Bot.
Calls.
Bubba it. Bot in high heels.
Okay. Now, how do people get a hold of you one more time?
Well, they can go online to ShastaWomen'sRefuge.org, or you can call 244-0118, extension 202, and you can get the information there. You can pick up the flyers or any of the information at the Shasta Women's Refuge as well. But it's a little late to start mailing stuff out. So,
right.
The other thing that could happen, and it's a little difficult, you can actually show up the day of the event and sign up, and that's fine, too. It just takes a little extra time, either a little early. We're going to have people out there 9 minimum, but we've got people there at 8:30 actually to start getting stuff taken care of. So,
well, I walked the mile last year with Carl, and of course I held his hands, because for guys to walk in high heels, it's not exactly, if they've never walked in high heels, it's hard. And I think your shins were hurting you after a while, and it was even though it's tongue in cheek and it's all in good fun.
I was dancing backwards. I made Ginger Rogers look like a a Neanderthal. I was that light on my toes.
It is a walk to like a memorial, and also pay homage to and raise funds for the Shasta Women's Refuge.
Okay, again, Dick just called in, and that's $10 from Dick. Okay, we're trying to get about another $50 out there, people. $10 here, $5 there, and we will take photos of me in the cami overalls, getting ready to go out in Squirrel Wars, and red beautiful pumps here.
Patent leather,
so we're
going
to push this over this next hour, too, and we've got like a minute left. So thank you so much for what you do.
Oh, thank you, guys.
For
thanks for your
us,
support.
Thank you for bringing
absolutely.
Well, we're glad to do that. We're again, it's for our community. It's helping people. The amount of, if there's anything we can do to help the community like that, I mean, you all put a lot of time and effort. If we can be a voice and give you all a voice, that's what we do.
Thank you.
All right, Don Smith and Dave Regnall, thank you. And I think they're called baby doll pumps.
Baby doll, I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're baby James.
Okay, we got 30 seconds here. Hey, our guest in the upcoming hour, Eric Wittstrom, we're going to be talking the economy and other things that are going on here in the state. It's 7:59. It's April 1st. This is not an April Fool's joke, my friends. I will have us photo taken.
You're listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 8:05. It's April the 1st. That's right. April Fool's Day. And we've been just doing little foolish things.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not April Fool's when it comes to you wearing your overalls and taking... Okay, can we talk about that real fast? I know we're going to...
Let me do this one thing.
Okay, hurry.
530-605-4567. Call us. We're chatting and streaming at KCNR1460.com.
We're also taking your pledges. We're almost at the $100 mark. Carl is going to post the red patent leather pumps. Oh, and one thing with his camo bib overalls that he's got on right now, and that is no April Fool's. You'll see that by the 9 o'clock hour. Thank you, Bonnie Sharp, who just donated $20. We're almost there. And by the way, we got a call saying you can wear flats. You can just, it's just walking a mile in her shoes. And the reality is that the guy who was here before had a size 15 pair of shoes. Carl, with his, of course, his thick socks on, put them on. They're actually size 13 men, so they were small heels. But there, it's not. Some men wear stiletto heels, and some men wear flats.
I thought they made my calves look nice. So hey, look, let's go to the phones here. Jay, good morning. You're on KCNR Live.
Hey, good morning. How are you today?
Hey, it's our philosopher, the taxi driver.
We understand.
Yellow cab man.
Say hi, Penny.
Oh, hi, honey.
That's my little one. She decided she wanted to be on the radio.
Well, she is a cutie. She can be on anytime.
We understand you have an event.
Just wanted to, other than say good morning to my favorite show,
thank you.
Just wanted to let you know that, hi, sweetie, I'm on the radio. I just wanted to let you guys know that we're doing a little bit of a change for Friday night. We're adding an extra guy, little old me, in the California and Market Street area, to just be sitting around and waiting for folks who are coming out of the restaurants and bars. So I just wanted to make you guys aware that there's going to be an extra driver in that area just waiting to pick you up and avoid those DUIs.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, there's an article in the paper today about the state of California. Is it just a perception, but is the state of California really bumping up the tickets they're giving?
Absolutely.
And going after people, how much is this helping the economy? When you think about it, just something like the red camera lights, $475 for that. If you do a California stop, which, I always thought was a part, it's part of our, our
culture.
It's called the Hollywood Roll, baby.
Yeah, Hollywood Roll. But now they're talking about, are the highway patrol out, or the other people out? So having somebody, why risk it? Why risk it? Just hop into a yellow cab and get home safe.
Okay, Jay, how does if somebody just wants to put in their cell phone, yellow cab number, what is it?
Okay, the yellow cab number is 222-1234.
All right.
And if you're out and about tonight, in between the hours of 9 and 3, I personally will be out there tonight trying to help out and get you to fill a niche here. And my number is 510-0651.
510-0651. That gets you Jay himself.
All right.
And so you can have, you can drive around town with Jay. Which sounds like
a lot
of fun anyway.
Love your program. You're doing great work, and I hope you have a wonderful Friday and be safe.
Well, thank you. Oh, we've just got Bob Dunlap.
Thank you, Jay. Have a great weekend. Thanks for your service,
you,
always.
And thank you, Bob. Hey, look, we're going to have to take a quick break here. It's Carl on the Bot. We are having a good time. It's April the 1st. We got some things I want to talk about. Eric Wickstrom's in the studio. I want to talk about something that happened before we start and just get everybody's feelings on this that happened to me yesterday, which kind of got my attention. 809, and this is Free Fire Radio. My drum. I'm going to bang my drum all day.
Nadine, thank you so much. You came by and brought $10 to just donate to Carl in those patent leather pumps and his bib, camel bib overalls. Bob's going to take his Facebook, his snap that he just took on his iPhone and show Nadine. She can't believe it because the shoes are now gone. They're traveling somewhere else. But anyway, our guest this morning, hey, welcome to the program.
Eric Wickstrom, Five Star Bank.
Good morning.
This is KCNR 1460.
Is it
really? Nabati,
all
13
day long.
In the morning.
All
April
day long.
You know, we just get kind of rolling on this.
We
it's
do.
A
it's Friday.
It is. Okay, let me, before we start with Eric, and Eric is one, he's our good friend, but he's also our bank here, a banker of choice, Five Star Bank. But he always comes in and has some great things to talk about, local economy, things that are going on in the country and the state. But before we start on that, let me ask you this. What would you do if you went outside? You know, here, because we park, you know, parking's at a premium here, but we get in really early, so I park here right next to our back door. So I'm getting ready to leave, and I've got appointments. I run back out there to get in the car, into the truck, and there's a truck parked directly behind me.
Ooh.
Directly behind me.
The green truck?
No, it was a white truck.
Okay.
And I go, wait a minute, I can't move. Who would do this? So I run next door, and think, okay, I'm going to ask, and there's a guy getting his haircut in a beauty shop. I don't understand that. But anyway, he's getting his haircut in a beauty shop. I go, you own a white truck? He goes, yeah. I said, I'm going to have it towed right now. And I went out, and he didn't act like he was too concerned. So I went back in there, and I said, that's probably not your white truck. He goes, no, I'm parked across the street.
Oh!
And I went, okay, oops, okay, sorry. But then, you know, I go out there to to make the phone call. And there's the guy.
Uh-huh.
He's working next door. He's not even supposed to be parking there,
right.
Much less he parks behind me. I go,
right.
I said, you parked behind me. He goes, well, yeah, I was just, you know, and I said, what would possess you? What ran through your mind that you would park directly behind somebody
and
block them in? He goes, well, you know, I just, you know, I said, no. What is running through your mind?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea? And he's holding this iron thing they do with concrete. And I go, which was okay. You know, but he wasn't, you know, he didn't do anything like that. He was like...
What did he say?
There was no reason.
No.
He just did because he couldn't find a place to park. So
he
just blocked
too lazy me to
in.
Go find
okay,
a park.
And I said, who do you work for? He goes, well, I don't know. You know, so I said, who do you work for? I said, I'll find out. I said, you probably want to tell me before I have to find out. And he goes, and he told me. I'm not going to mention the company because it's not the company's fault.
Right.
This guy wasn't. I mean, if he was the owner of the company, I might have bring it out. But he wasn't. But here's the thing is, does that happen to you? I mean, and then just the other day, somebody blocked in everybody.
I called the cops.
And
I didn't care. At this point, she'd been there for 3 hours. I didn't know who it was.
Would somebody?
And they came.
Why would somebody directly park behind somebody else just to block them in when there's parking in other spots?
And it's not like it's expensive to park on the street and put that quarter in for your 75 minutes.
And even if you can't park there's a big parking structure that's less than 2 minutes from
We're
your
having
walking.
Parking issues here. This whole,
anyway.
Actually a lot of issues regarding cars, parking violations and lots of things. I can't even
like
go
this.
There. Otherwise,
but,
I'll just,
but this just happened.
Start ripping
this just
stuff
happened
apart.
Yesterday and I'm sitting, you know, and he never could tell me why. What possessed you to do this? I mean, I would never even think of doing that to somebody. Anyway,
okay.
It's out of my system. Okay, Eric.
You feel better now.
Good morning. I feel better. And by the way.
And you've got a big weekend.
$10 more. $10
more,
and you will get,
Angel, $25.
Okay,
we've got our $100 right here.
Angel just gave it. Okay, now
thank you so much.
Put it up on Facebook as soon as you can, so people can see
the picture is up on Facebook even as we speak, and you can. We're going to you'll be able to transfer the picture over to the KCNR page.
Okay.
But, yes, it's quite fetching.
Is it under, what is it under right now on Facebook?
Bob Belanger.
Bob Belanger. Okay,
but we'll move it over. Why don't you add it to my wall over there or something you can through Free Fire Radio.
Oh, what do you do? What do you say?
How
I
you
like
that?
It. Okay, let's move along now, and let's talk about more things to make us feisty.
Get us all fired up.
Yeah.
Eric, what's going on right now? I mean, we just had Jim Nielsen on.
Yeah,
there's a battle between in the legislature. Obviously, as our very very knowledgeable listeners have said, hey, wait, can we get past this partisanship? And Jim's answer was, look, it's not just partisanship. This is a direct fundamental belief,
a fundamental difference
of how things should be done,
and how to run a government.
What are you seeing on this too?
Well, you know, we had taxes that were increased, and the proposal is to continue with the increases of taxes for a period of time, and in return, the Democrats are projecting some cuts, but I think that the Republicans, and rightly so, are digging their heels in and saying, no, we need some fundamental changes in how we fund government. You know, personally, if the tax increases stayed for a period of time and fundamental changes were made in the budget, in the way revenue is created and expenses, costs are allocated, I'd be okay with that. Let's get this place straightened out. But right now, there's not a proposal to make the fundamental permanent changes that need to be made.
And I think that's a problem. You know, I look down and I see that 42% of our general fund goes to education.
Yep.
42%.
Yep.
And of that, most of it goes to paying teachers.
Yep.
And then in the same page, I look over and it shows where the teachers' pension fund is going to be short, and the state may have to put in another $58 million or something, pony up. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, you know, there's that right there. I mean, that we can't beat that. There's nothing we can do about that. And now we're cutting literally billions out of our education system.
Yeah, you know, and if there's places that we want to invest, and I think everybody agree, it's, you know, education, law enforcement, health and safety issues. I think everybody agrees that that should be solid and kind of beyond reproach as far as funding. It's the entitlement programs for those that are unwilling to work for those that make
lifestyle choices.
Yeah, making lifestyle choices that if you give them a temporary safety net, give them a temporary safety net, but get them off their butt and get them back working.
Yeah. Okay.
Or make their own choices and understand that there's consequences. Everything that I've done in my life.
There's
has consequences,
absolutely.
Good and bad.
You park behind my truck, there's a consequence.
There's a consequence. I heard about it. I won't never do that. And I do have a white truck.
I tell you what, I'm sitting there thinking, you're holding that thing in your hand. What are you thinking about that? What's running through your head right now, my friend? Anyway, okay, we got to take a break. Eric Wittstrom's our guest from Five Star Bank. We'll get back. We'll have Bruce on the line. We've got a lot of things going on. Thanks so much for our listeners out there. We pushed it over $100 and for walking my honor shoes. This is Carl and DeBott, 820 on April the 1st, and this is Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's 8:23 in the morning. It's April the 1st. No, we haven't played any. The only April Fool's trick is that if you came in and handed me cash, I'm using that today to buy more ammunition. No, thank you so much out there for our listeners and our friends that just put us way over the $100 mark there for walking my honor shoes. Okay, our guest Eric Wittstrom today, and we have the phone lines backed up. So let's go to Bruce. Bruce, you are live on KCNR.
Well, good morning, group down there.
Good morning.
How are you?
Has anybody ever, because I haven't been on, they talked about Assembly Bill 130 and 131 Sedillo came on with 2 weeks ago?
Refresh your memory.
Okay, it is a health bill, but what it is, it's for illegal, or no, they don't call them illegals, they call them undocumented immigrants here, and they got it out of committee, and it's probably going to pass, according to Jim, because they can't stop it if it does. But
mm-hmm.
Prop 130, it'll give undocumented, they can have the same rights as in-state tuition for college.
Yes, yes. You know what? He did talk about that. It looks like that one's going to happen.
But it also uses the alumni funds that, you know, the donations from alumni, they can use it for scholarships for that. And then they ramp up to 131, Assembly Bill 131, and that carries it a little further. That's called the California Dream Act. And that gets these illegals or undocumented, they can apply for Cal Grants so they can have their colleges paid for. But this, and the bottom line is that for, they say from like kindergarten through a four-year college, the costs are probably about $96,000 to $100,000 per person. So here they're broke, and you know they're fighting.
And yet they keep
there,
passing entitlement packages.
They're
going to
pack another deal on here for illegals. They 300 of them showed up, testified down there. The student body president from Fresno State showed up, and they all showed up and said they were undocumented. They should have had ICE down there loading them on a bus. But
well, you know, this is exactly what Jim said. This is what most people see is that, hey, guys, we're in the middle of a hole. It's one of those things, when you're in a hole, stop digging. And here we are still passing entitlement packages. We're shutting down parts of universities. We're cutting back over $1 million. Back over $1 million at Shasta College. That's Shasta College. What kind of impact is that going to have on us? And yet we turn around and give entitlements to people that aren't even here. Undocumented foreign travelers. What, does that mean they made a wrong turn someplace and they should be in Disneyland? What? No, they're going to our universities.
But one of the speakers, the keynote speakers there in support of the bill was the chancellor of University of Berkeley. And that cat draws down $429,000. So there you go. Anyhow, we'll jump off. I just want to know if people to be aware of that. They should be aware and call our senators and Congress. This is where it's all about. If we don't get involved, they're going to ram everything down our throats. Thanks, guys.
You bet. Thanks, Bruce. Let's go to John. John, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're doing fine, John. How are you?
It's my friends Carl, Linda, Bad Bob, and Eric. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Doing great.
You have a question for Eric?
Yes, I do.
All right.
There's a recent news report of banks adding new charges to accounts, including ATM withdrawal fees, to get your money out of the bank. The banks, as far as I can tell, are the ones that are starting the charges, and I believe it's Bank of America. I shouldn't get into names.
No, that's all right.
Are doing well. And this seems to be opportunism to rip off customers. By the way, who paid taxes for bailouts when these banks weren't doing so well?
Well, John, you make a great point, and I think I'll tell you, those large banks are some of our best marketing because it makes it real easy to convince customers to come to us.
Absolutely.
All those fees and charges are obviously discretionary. They're making a decision to do it to replace revenue that they've lost someplace else.
Or don't have.
And the most recent trend, and we talked about this a couple months ago when the Dodd bill was passed, where all of a sudden the government starts regulating the margin that the banks can get from merchants on their debit card transactions. It used to be 2%, 2.5%,
right,
and it was market driven. And the government said you can't get more than 75 basis points, I think, or 0.75%.
Can I slightly interrupt you for
absolutely.
One second?
We have 3 minutes.
Does that include American Express because they're not considered a bank?
Well, each card issuer had different margins, and actually American Express generally was a little bit less, but it would be 10 or 15 basis points less than what the Visa MasterCard would set up.
Okay, and so, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine. And then that flows through to the bank that's the issuing card. And in American Express's case, it is a non-bank financial company. They do issue also, you know, credit cards too, but the normal American Express card, that fee goes to American Express. Anyways, the government's now regulating what you can charge on that. And they're pulling it back. So a huge amount of revenue, the fee was that the bank was getting from customers for using their card through the merchant, is went away. Now they're looking for other ways. They're charging for checks. They're checking accounts where they used to, you know, the big thing in the last decade was free checking. Well, that's gone away in the big banks. And they're charging for, you know, over-the-counter transactions that for the teller. They're charging at the ATM more.
Yeah, this was the big one. $5. Now, I think it's Bank of America. They're going up to $5 for if you're using their ATM, from another bank.
That's it.
And in the Southeast, where they're starting to test this stuff, they're charging for an over-the-counter teller transaction. Bring your deposit in to a teller and talk to a live person. They're going to get charged for putting your money in their bank.
Can I give your bank a plug for just a minute?
Absolutely.
Listen, are you guys...
You got 1 minute to do that.
You're going to be real fast because this is going to be important to the people who are listening to
us.
Is your bank capable of assisting new customers with transferring automated payments from their old bank accounts to your bank?
Absolutely. It takes one piece of paper and one signature, and it happens automatically.
It keeps people from making that transition.
Yep. No, it happens automatically. We just get what they call an ACH agreement. You sign it, and we can go out and grab money from any account at any.
And you have account reps to help people do that, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
And they don't charge for it.
And we don't charge for it.
It's our many cheers, John.
To help the process here.
Okay. All right. Hey, look, we got a break. Hey, John, thanks for your phone call. Yeah, that's right. Have a nice weekend. Bye. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire.
Thanks for the donation.
It's 8:30 on April the 1st. Can you believe that? April the 1st. Where's it gone to? This is Free Fire Radio.
R1460 on your dial. Carl Lindebot here for Free Fire Radio. For the next 30 minutes up until 9 o'clock, let's talk about the weather. It's going to be high today. Beautiful. 83. It's currently 51. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Now, remember tonight, we've got Pat Karch and Joe Catania. You want to make your reservations up there. 6 o'clock tonight, the music begins. A glorious night it will be up there. 474-5546. That's Anselmo Vineyards. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. We appreciate our sponsors. I want to thank one more time John Dixon, Nancy Cole, Dick Fighton, Bonnie Sharp, Bob Dunlap, Nadine Bailey, Angel, and Kathleen and Lou White, who donated money to Carl this morning. That is for Walk a Mile in Her Shoes, Shasta Women's Refuge. And we really appreciate that. The goal was this morning to raise $100, which we did from our loyal listeners. Thank you so much. And our guest this morning is Eric Woodstrom from Five Star Bank. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Good.
Was that a mouthful?
Yes. Oh, boy.
Well, you know, one of the things that we had you on is because everything finance, we always go to you. You are our expert. We feel that we put our confidence in you, and that's a really big thing. Being new business owners, you helped us to see it through, and so we bring you on because as things change and everything is so getting crazy here with taxes coming up and people's finances, is that now's the time for people to make a call in.
Yep.
And bring you into more into view for those who possibly don't know about you in Five Star.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, it's you know, we've talked a little bit about the economy and what's going on out there, but we have, you know, we really have opportunity now. We've been through a rough 4 or 5 years, pick the time, and it's hurt everybody. It's hurt every business. But there's businesses that continue to survive. There's new opportunities. There's new businesses starting in this town. There's people with good ideas, a little bit of capital, and need some financial assistance to get going. And that's the role we play. That's the role that the community bank has always played in the community and should always play. And we're seeing, you know, kind of maybe it's springtime. I don't know. But we're seeing the phone ringing and people coming in and saying, hey, I've got to start this business. I need to expand my business. Can you help me?
Are you seeing trends right now, Eric?
Yeah, I think we are. I think, you know, we're in 07 and 08, the calls, and maybe 09 were, you know, I'm in trouble, I need help, you know, kind of refinance some debt that I already have. And now we're seeing, and those are tough because cash, a lot of people had leverage that they couldn't maintain, and now the calls are more and the businesses have weathered that, the ones that are still open and the new businesses that are starting, and they're looking to grow. I think that we are seeing a trend towards growth. We're seeing some firmness in the construction. There's some projects coming online, not only public works, but some private construction projects coming online that are, you know, good for our economy. A lot of our economy is based on that construction trade, and we are seeing some positive trends.
Well, you know, that's the thing is, and so many times you just see, this has failed, this is bad, this is wrong, this is this. But you know, people have not given up. That's what I love about the North State. That's what I love about our country and our people is that
they're not quitters.
They have not quitters. They are pushing out there. Yep. It's like, okay, you know, we've got friends that have I don't know if you'd call them friends, but people we know and respect that have motorcycles and ATVs. They've had to cut back.
Yep.
But you know what? They've weathered it.
They picked themselves up by the bootstraps. Right. They've dusted themselves off and said, I can sit down and cry or I can move forward. Let's move forward.
That's right. You know, they're not quitting. And that's what I love about this area up here is that, okay, things are tough. I'm not quitting. We're going to fight it out. And then you've got new businesses stepping out there. You know, one is somebody's just come back from Southern California. He's opening up, I think that. At the sausage factory that Robbie Cleary used to have. They're opening that up. Robbie's opening up. I think she's opening
at
up a restaurant.
Shack.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people doing things.
Yeah.
So I'm glad.
We're seeing some positive. You know, unemployment's still high.
Yeah.
Interest rates are still low. So, there's some opportunity out there. And it's not saying that it's easy. There's not easy money. But people are, there is opportunity to make money and to build wealth.
Well, you know what?
What?
Dennis Patterson from West Coast Sustainables.
Okay.
Just donated $100.
Wow.
I think,
eyes bugged out.
I know. I was wondering. You turn around, but you know what I think? What Dennis had to do is he had to pull over and actually kind of like hit his arms, hit his legs. Like, am I really hearing this? Am I really? Yes. Carl is in camo bib overalls. It is on Facebook. He is in red patent leather shoes. Not right now, but he took a picture this morning. Thank you so much for the donation.
Dennis
and, of
Patterson.
Course, it goes
well, that raises the bar.
That raises the bar.
Let's raise that bar a little higher. Let's see what else we can get.
He'll be here on Monday, by the way.
Oh,
all right.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Dennis.
Yeah, and we're talking about the man. If you want to get solar paneling, that's the man.
Yeah, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Eric Woodstrom and Five Star Bank. This is Carla Linda Bott, KCNR 1460.
1460. It's Carla and KCNR 1460. It's Carla and Linda Bott. Good morning. 8:43 in the morning.
Kind of an introspective
April
song.
April the 1st. Yeah, we don't like introspection here. 51 degrees. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. That's right, Cypress Square, right off Athens Avenue. Great haircuts, great prices, and they give discounts to veterans. And let me tell you something, after a hard weekend of fighting with those squirrels up there in Cedarville, I like to come back down and share the stories with the D.C. and Tim and the Man in Black, because it's man's last stronghold, my friends. Man's last stronghold. I'm not going to go in there and get my feet pedicured. I'm not going to go down there and get blown dry. I'm going to get a haircut. And that's what you do at Cypress Square Barbershop. Great place to go to. It's right off Athens Avenue. Okay.
Okay.
Guest, Eric Witchman. Hey, Eric, you know, I'm always hoping I get a different answer on this, but as things change, but... Doing business, city, county, we're not even going to talk state.
Right.
Let's just talk fees. Do you see, what do you see happening there? Is there any lessening of this, or is it just staying?
No, there's not. There's, you know, there's been some kind of eyewash decisions that have made that shift fees in from the beginning of a project to the end of a project. There's not been any lessening, and really that does constrain business growth in our area and in the state of California. You know, we've got... Oregon and Texas stealing customers, New Mexico stealing businesses, coming after California-based businesses. Businesses are trying to make the decision, can I afford to stay in California where we want to live, or should I move to Texas where it's a lot cheaper to do business? And really, that's that's one of the biggest constraints to growth that we have here in California business. We've got, you know, if you want to expand, we've got traffic impact fees, we've got development fees, we've got this, that, and the other thing that just get layered on. In some commercial projects that we've looked at, over 25% of the cost of the project is fees going to the government. Different, you know, cities, counties, state, and that's just over the top compared to what competing in other states are.
Well, you know, that's it. You know, and we've also got like a 35%, and tell me if I'm wrong, and this 35% business tax on business is already.
Yep.
And then I just saw in Illinois that they just increased their business taxes by 66%, which makes Caterpillar look like they're leaving Illinois.
But the 66% is relative. What they did is they went from 3 to 5%. For business income tax, and we're already charging 9 at the state level,
right,
and 35 or 40 at the federal level. So while their increase is higher, they're still cheaper than California.
And so here it is.
Yeah.
And here they're thinking about taking, I forget, it was like 20,000 jobs or something out there, some huge amount of jobs and money because of that, but they're still under what we charge here in California.
Yeah.
And, you know, truthfully, the climate or the weather's just not that good all the time.
In Illinois?
Here in California,
yeah,
to pay that. I mean, if you can go up to Oregon, I just don't, you know, we've had every politician that's in this, that runs this city and this county, and or that works at the state and at the national government, we've had them on the show.
Right.
Every one of them says at the city and county level, we have to reduce these fees.
Absolutely.
We have to find, just do a moratorium on this. We have to find a way of reducing fees. Not one time, my friends, not one time have I seen this happen. Now, if it has, please, somebody call me, tell me I'm wrong. I have no problem being wrong on this. I have no problem being wrong anyway. But if there's been any fees reduced, waived, let's just roll this one back and let's not have them do this, somebody needs to tell me because, as frankly, and then they point their fingers at each other. Well, I can't get these people to vote on it. Or I can't do that. And I'm like, why?
Wait a second.
Wait a minute. Yeah, you're all saying it.
Who do you represent?
Yeah, who you are.
I think all of us out here that are paying taxes would like you to do it.
You know, roll it back 10%. You know, just, you know, 10%. You know, well, gosh, we don't make enough money now. Well,
yeah.
All right. You know, now so you're going to kill businesses that are trying to expand.
It makes it more difficult to get going. And
it does.
Yep.
Okay. You know, and then, you know, the fees we were talking about are the ones that Jim Nielsen was talking about.
Sure.
Those regulatory fees that he, you know, and all these different commissions that can, they can charge us money without it even going through the legislature. I'm not sure
because
how that
they're
can
called, because they're called fees instead of taxes.
Fees. And then, I mean, those are the
but
ones.
But they are still taxes.
But and then
it
they
all
can,
goes in the same bucket.
And they can pass regulations too that make you spend more money on stuff like this—the sewer thing, or not, or the septic tank thing, which was, you know, it might have something to do with reality down on the coast, but up here has nothing to do with reality. Yet our people are going to be paying thousands of dollars if that had gone through.
So there. All right. Well, let's look forward. What sort of good things we have looking
forward?
What are
good things?
Other than going out and shooting squirrels this weekend,
right?
We do have some good construction projects coming online in this town.
We've got some large
public works projects. We have some private projects that are going on. We're going to have the courthouse that's going to be built over the next couple of years. We've got Turtle Bay coming online with a $20 million project on their hotel. And we've got some private construction projects going on, some new build out of the building across from City Hall. We're working with a couple customers that are looking to move their business and expand, and I won't name names right now, but when they come out of the ground, they'll be an addition to our business community. And so there's good things
forward.
Coming out.
People
yes.
are do, yep. people again, you know, are striving and to succeed even if there are things put in front of them.
You know, in the middle of in 05 and 06, there was a lot of talk about making an auto mall at a couple different locations, and that never quite came together. It would have included some business relocation, expansion, some large amounts of debt that they would have incurred. And kind of in hindsight, it's probably good that that didn't happen. But we're seeing kind of a refreshing of Cypress. We've had the Nissan dealership that was sold, and then in the and acquired by the folks at Crown Motors, and they've put some money into the project. We've got the new Subaru dealership on Cypress that's going in, and it's doing great guns, selling cars left and right.
Wow.
And so we've got some positive things going
on. That's great.
I think that, you know, what we're hearing from our businessmen and women in the community is that there's positive things going on.
Well, that's what it takes, you know, and then
money's starting to move again and turn over, and we're all getting the benefit of it.
Well, the positive trend means is then other people can kind of like join in, and they can kind of pile on into this thing. Then it gets better and better. And
really, that's the basis of our economy, and that will create a lot more revenue for the state than an additional fee. If we can turn that, every time we turn that money over, they get a piece of it. And if they can turn it over more times, they get more, and as opposed to trying to nickel and dime us on fees and DMV fees increased and this and that.
Well,
we have some of the squirrel brigade that's come in the door, and you know, I can only thank Five Star Bank.
That's quite a group.
And Eric, for all your expertise and all that you do for Carl and I, and also for all of us here at KCNR, really thank you for your expertise, for always giving us advice, keeping us centered. That's so important.
You know, Five Star Bank is, you know, your whole vision up here is to help small businesses.
Yes.
And you know, okay, you know, people go, oh, okay, you know, it's, you know, gosh, you know, this is a plug. Well, yeah, it absolutely is, my friends. We have worked with Five Star Bank ever since we had this dream of having a radio station. But since then, and we wouldn't have done that if we hadn't known the people there at Five Star Bank.
And
had
been encouraged
and
by
encouraged.
You.
But then we've been able to watch and see how you all have helped so many other businesses, small businesses, thrive and start. And that's why having you come in and ask about, you know, about the positive aspects of the, yes, there's negative, but you're always got something positive too, and that is just fantastic.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. It's that's a nice plug. I didn't expect that, but that's what we try and do. You know, as bankers, we get our excitement by having our customers be successful.
Yeah.
And so,
thank you. Eric Witchcomb of Five Star Bank. Thank you so much, Eric.
You bet.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Carl and the Bot, this is Free Fire Radio.
Back down.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. Carl Lindabat. 8:55 in the morning on April 1st. My my bride's over here making strange noises. I hope
you see everybody get their pistols up.
We're here. You know, we've got the last 3 or 4 minutes. We're getting ready to go out on the Squirrel Wars, our annual Squirrel Wars, and we've got all the shooters in here. And let's talk to the most deadliest, one of the more deadly people out here. Just introduce yourself there, Natalie.
My name's Natalie Verhoek, and I'm 12 years old.
Let me tell you something, my friends. You don't want to be on the other end when she's out shooting. Her father, Norm, Dr. Norm, has taught her well. And then, of course, her brother, Luke. Say hello, Luke. He's the quieter one.
Hello.
You know, every year we started this, I think this is our third year, with the Verhoek family and the Whites and several other of the group that are here invited us out to go up to the northern part of California, even northerner than we are now, up to Alturas and Cedarville. And actually, the farmers and ranchers out there have sent us personal letters asking us to come out and help them control the wild ground squirrel population out there. Of course, as I've been telling people, we do this under the guise of the Geneva Convention. We do not shoot at any little squirrels with red crosses on them.
Those are
targets.
Out there.
Get a little bit closer. No, those are not targets.
Those are targets. That's targets.
This is Lou White.
Lou White. We just have a good time out there, and it's one of those things that, you know, even if you don't shoot a lot, it's fun just to go up there and get out, get away.
I think everybody should say, let's do a squirrel war woohoo. 1, 2, 3.
Woohoo!
only.
You can't believe the place is flooded with camo right now. We have binoculars. We've got, you know, we are ready to roll. So, and Kelly, how did you guys all start this?
Because
we've been lucky to fortunate to go along with the gang for the last 3 years. How long has it been? How did this start?
Well, it started almost 20 years ago. There was a
farmer who was bemoaning his sad stories to my husband, and he was telling him about how they have four kids and they're trying to make a living, but the varmints up there eat everything they plant, and they bite into their water lines to get water and destroy the water system. So they were going to have to quit farming because it just cost too much to try and fight the varmints. And so my husband offered to come up and shoot a few, and they thought that was a novel concept, that somebody would be willing to burn through a couple hundred dollars worth of ammo just to help them out a little bit. And then it became a regular weekend thing, and the wife would call me with tears of joy saying, I cannot believe that you allow your husband to leave you at home with two kids, and you send him up here, and he burns through $300 or $400 worth of ammo in a weekend, and you're not divorcing him. I said, well, he's saving the American farmers, so we're happy to do it. So we just kept inviting friends to come up and help out these farmers, and makes a big difference.
Well, you know, up there in Cedarville, they've got Squirrel Wars, an official week and a weekend there where they have dinners and they give out prizes, and it's a Chamber of Commerce thing. And a lot of people come up there, and you can't believe how many and how much damage these squirrels can cause to the farmers and the ranchers out there. But this is something that's an official Chamber of Commerce.
And they're not indigenous. We're not talking about those cute little gray squirrels you feed. This is another kind of varmint.
It looks like a potato with legs and little eyes. And by the way, they carry bubonic plague, and they have been known to cannibalize each other. So, anyway, hey, thanks so much for being with us this week. And next week we've got a bunch of great guests coming in. We're going to be talking about a number of things on Monday, and a lot of different topics. We're going to be spreading our fun and what we've done during the Squirrel Wars and sharing that with you, but also everything else that's going on in our city, our county, our state. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.